Every time I think of flying, I'm just falling. So close to touching the sky, but gravity keeps pulling me back down. But I can't stay here forever. I wanna go.
Today I'm going to speak on the second part of this series, the second and final part of the series, Gravity. We started this on Easter. Of course, last week we had special guests in who spoke and ministered, but the week before that we started this series, Gravity. That's why if you walked in and say, I've never seen a church with debris hanging around their ceiling like this before. That comes off of the movie, of course, Gravity, where they had the explosion of the space shuttle up in space. And so we kind of made this set look like an explosion of a space shuttle. We even got our spaceman still hanging around. He's so excited. He's been here all week praying for this service. But today we're going to talk about gravity again. Of course, we had a tremendous Easter service, three packed crowds Saturday night and two Sunday morning. And many people gave their heart to follow after Jesus Christ. We had many people this morning, a big crowd this morning, who gave their heart to follow after Jesus Christ. This is why we're here, because we are finding out there's people who are tired of just floating along through life. How many know the very basis of gravity is what? That what goes up must go down, right? Because of gravity, what goes up must come down. Well, today I want to talk to you about the opposite thought that is the exciting message of not only Easter, but every day in our life, is that what goes down must come back up, right? You say, that defies gravity. Well, you're right. That does defy gravity. But how many know we serve the gravity-defying God? That he went down and came back up. And that same resurrection power is alive in our life today. And so we're going to talk about that thought that what goes down must come up. I hope that messes with your theology today. I hope some of you today just have your hard time getting your brain wrapped around that. Because if you do, then I'm making you think, which is what I want you to think about today. Because in God's kingdom, his ways are not our ways, right? Scripture says his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So his principles are not the same. Even though here on earth, gravity is pulling us down, we have other things that say that the Spirit of God is pulling us up. Let's look at what Micah says in chapter 7, verse 8. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will what? When I fall, let's say it together. I will, one more time. I will, say it with conviction. I will, there we go. When I fall, I will arise. So we have the power to look at our enemy and say, don't rejoice over me. You know, that's what happens. Satan likes to rejoice when we fall. That when we fall from our high level of living, or something happens in our life when the joy is stripped out from under us and things begin to happen and life is pouring us down, that Satan looks back and he rejoices over that. But Scripture says we look at our enemy in the eye and we say, do not rejoice over me. Even though I may be falling right now, I will arise. And this is the testimony of the Christian, is that even though we get knocked down, we rise back up. This is our testimony. And today we're going to talk about that. Rising back up. I want to introduce a new word to you today. It's the word of the bounce. It's actually the word bounceology. See, you got a basketball in the house. There we go. We got a basketball in the house. How many like to play basketball? Anybody like to play basketball? Anybody like watching basketball? Any Thunder fans in the house like watching basketball, all right? Come on. I thought you was anointed. Any Thunder fans? Okay. You know, there's something about the basketball. I love playing the game. TJ played point guard at Missouri Southern. Seemed like a long time ago, TJ. We have any active players in the house? Any active Southern players in the house? Where are they at? I saw Jordan in the lane. Stepped in. There's Jordan. Jordan's walking in right now. There you go, Jordan. We're talking about you. All right. These guys from Southern. Now, TJ played basketball at Southern as well, and he played point guard. And one of the great things about playing point guard is you get to dribble the ball, right? It's something about dribbling the ball. Now, what you don't see happening here is while TJ is dribbling this ball, at the very bottom of this impact, the ball is actually flattening out. It happens so fast, our naked eye can't see it. But at the bottom of this impact, the ball is actually flattening up before it springs back. Now, TJ's pretty – show me some moves here, PJ. So no matter what is happening here, whether he's dribbling in front, through his legs, behind his back. Now, where was that in the first service? I told him in the first service I have to call some of the guys up here to play because I think he forgot. But what's happening, what you don't see is happening. I mean, when you watch the game, you're not watching it going, boy, I wonder how that ball flattens out and springs back up. We don't think about that, do we? That's not what goes through our mind. Thank you, TJ. But today I want to introduce you. There's a lot going on that you don't see. And I'm going to introduce a new word to you today called bounceology. Now, some of you say, I've never heard of that word. That's because I made it up today. But if we break it down, the bounce is the what? The reflection, the rebound, rebounding of an object, the reflecting of an object. And ology means a study of. So we're going to have the study of the bounce today. I believe there's some spiritual revelation that we can look at the study of the bounce and look in the scripture and see that as Christian, God is always destined that we bounce back. And God has always had a plan for us to bounce back. And so in order for us to understand the full capacity of this principle of bouncing back, I want us to break down the study of the bounce. And let's break it down into four areas. First of all, let's talk about the first principle that happens in the bounce, and that is the principle of the fall. The ball must first fall. The object must first fall before it can bounce. Ever felt like someone dropped the bottom from under your life? Ever feel like you're just going through life and things are going just perfect? Things are happening at a great level, and all of a sudden something out of nowhere comes and hits you and just takes the wind out of your sail. It's like the bottom just dropped out from under you. Anyone here ever feel like that? We all do, right? Either we're there now or it's happened to us or it's going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when that happens in our life. And we know this to be true, that those things seem like it always comes out of nowhere, doesn't it? That the bottom drops out of nowhere. That we see life hits us out of nowhere. I didn't see that divorce happen. It happened out of nowhere. I didn't see me losing my job. It happened out of nowhere. I didn't see this hurt happening. It happened out of nowhere. I didn't see this loss of life happening. It just happened out of nowhere. And things happen that just rattle us and shake us. And it seems like what happens is that we get deflated, doesn't it? Things just happen. We're in the middle of the fall. Well, that's what happens in our life. Someone allows things to happen. Something happens in our life, and we feel like all the bottom just dropped out. We didn't see it coming. That's when I talk to people all the time that go through this, they say it. I never saw it coming. And that's why it shakes us up. We never planned on going through this. Look what Ecclesiastes says. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 11 says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either one of them falls, what? If either one of them falls, the first principle we see of the bounce is the fall. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up. Look what scripture says. I pity the fool. Now, you know I got to put a little 80s humor in there, okay? I pity the fool who falls and has no one to help them up. You see, there's something about being connected. That's why we did a whole series on staying connected, on being planted. Because the scripture says that we need each other. We need to be connected to people who are there to pull us back up. Because we will all have times of falling. We will all have times, seasons when we are in a fall. And scripture says this, that the man who doesn't have someone to reach out and help them, that person's in trouble. But we know this, that we are connected to the body of Christ because we need each other. It's a whole thing that says we are the body of Christ. Together we make up the fellowship of believers. And we need each other. Listen, no one is called to walk life alone. Let me say it again. No one is called to walk life alone. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Even Skipper had Gilligan to help him get off the island. We're not called to walk this alone, but we need each other to help pull each other up, to say, oh, you're falling, but let me help you get up. You know, we've seen the commercial, I've fallen and I can't get up. Push your life alert button. Well, how many know that's the great thing about being connected to the local body is that when you fall, you can push your life alert and say, man, I need some help. I need someone to help me, pick me up. I just had my air knocked out of me. I just had the wind knocked out of me. I just been knocked off my feet. I didn't see it coming. But there's people around you who can help you. There's people around you who will get down with you. They'll cry with you. But they'll say, all right, it's enough crying. It's time to get up. Let's get up and work our way back up and pull each other up. That's what being planted is all about, is that we're connected to the body so we can help each other up during these times. Look what Proverbs 17:17 says. A friend loves at all times, but a brother. Now, this is not talking about our real brother. He's talking about, remember, we are the body of Christ. And Jesus said, who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? He was talking about us. So as a Christian, we have what we call brothers in the spirit and sisters in the spirit. We're called brothers and sisters. This is what he's talking about. For a brother is born for a time of adversity, a time of trouble. That's what we're here for. But too many people want to wear the mask and act like nothing's wrong when we need to say, you know what? I need help. I need someone to help me. I need someone to reach out to me. I need someone to be there for me, to reach out and to help me during this time of trouble. We have people in the church who have fallen, but they need people to reach out and help them. When you fall, don't look for support from people outside the church. When we fall, don't look for people to support you outside the church. Listen, there is people all across the United States this weekend who are filling up the bar counters, who are crying, and they're saying, there's a tear in my beer, and I'm crying for you, dear. And they're pouring their heart out to some bartender who doesn't really care about their life. He just wants to get a tip. And listen, we need someone to cry to. We need someone to reach out to. And you're not going to find it in the bar. You're not going to find it outside the church. You need people inside the church that you can be connected to who can help pull you up. Well, Pastor, that's fine and dandy, but my aunt, she is a great marriage counselor. And she's helping me through my divorce right now. She's a great marriage counselor. She's been married 5 times. She knows what she's doing. Listen, don't connect yourself to unwise people. Be connected. Be connected to people who are brothers and sisters in the faith who can help pull you up when you go through times of struggle. Because we all do. And we need each other to pull each other up. Connect to people. Connect to believers who are rising back up. See, I want to be connected to people who are rising back up. I want people to understand where I've been, but I want people to say, you're not staying there. Let me help you rise back up. Scripture says the righteous man falls 7 times, but then again, he will rise back up. He will rise. So I say to my enemy, don't rejoice for long. Satan, you may laugh right now, but you won't be laughing for long because I will rise back up again. Amen. Yeah, give God a hand. That's great. Slam that ball down, TJ. Because the harder I fall, the higher I rise. Remember that. The harder I fall, the higher I rise. I am learning that even though I may fall hard, if I allow it to, the law and the principle to bounce means I will rise even harder. The second part of the bounceology is this, is the impact. First the fall happens, then the impact happens. You see, the naked eye can't see what's really happening at impact. Matter of fact, I think we got a couple of videos here. I want you to see this real closely. Look at something as hard as a baseball having an impact. Look how much it flattens out an impact that you never see. Before it ever springs back, the impact takes place and it flattens out. Show that one more time. Look at it right here. Look at the impact of this ball. You ever seen a tennis ball at impact? Slow motion? Let me show you a tennis ball. This actually becomes like a pancake before it ever returns. We'll see it here, then we'll see it in slow motion. You don't know it right here, but this ball is actually floating down. Look at that thing. Disappears in the racket. It flattens out like a pancake before it ever returns. So at impact, what we see happening here is that impact, we get flattened out, right? And this is a problem that many of us, we've fallen, and at impact, it knocked the air out of us, or it flattened us, and we just gave up right then. We just gave up right then. But let me tell you today that I've come to encourage you to say, don't give up. Don't give up at impact. Because if you allow it, the greatest part of the impact can be the springing, the balancing coming back forward. But so many people get flattened. You know what I'm talking about. Pastor, if you really knew what was going on, you realize I've been flattened today. Flattened at impact. I'm here to tell you that's a good thing. Because that means you're getting ready to spring back up. God is preparing you to spring back up. Look what Proverbs 24:10 says. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. Look at it again. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. What's that mean? Simply means this, that we were not called to give up under pressure. But God says, I've given you a strength. See, what happens is this, is that we have got to stop giving up at impact. Even though you feel like you're being flattened, you may be losing your shape. Don't give up. You see, what happens is this, that even though the object begins to come flattened, at some point, what's going on the inside is there's pressure on the inside. And at some point, the law of physics takes place, and the pressure on the inside becomes greater than the pressure on the outside, and it allows that thing to spring back up. Let me say it again. You're going to get this. Some of you know where I'm going right now. The pressure on the inside becomes greater than the pressure on the outside, therefore allowing the deformity to take shape again and to go back and spring back up. See, Scripture says this, that greater is He that is inside me than he that is in the world. And what you got to realize is that God, by His Holy Spirit, is giving you a strength inside your life. He has placed something on the inside of you that even though you may fall hard, there is be flattened at impact, that something happens, that there is something great inside of you living. And it is the resurrection power of our Savior. It's the resurrection power that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we allow ourselves to withstand the impact, that there's something that comes on the inside of you that springs back up and says, oh yeah, I may be hit hard. I may have fallen hard, but I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to spring back up. God is always destined that we spring back up, that we rise back up. At some point, you got to fall. You may fall, but you got to say on the inside, I'm springing back up. He wants to restore you back stronger, higher. How many wish you could go back to grade school? Anybody wish you could go back to grade school? Only those that are just like a year out of grade school said that, I think. Why is that? How many really would like to go back to grade school? Anybody really like to go back to grade school? Not too many. Why? How many know grade school was tough, wasn't it? And in grade school, people pick on you for anything. They pick on you in grade school if you're smart. They pick on you in grade school. They pick on you if you are dumb. They pick on you if you think you're smart. If you don't dress a certain way, if you don't look a certain way, or if you're good at athletics, they pick on you. If you're not good, they pick on you. If you look a certain way, they pick on you. If you don't look a certain way, they pick on you. I mean, everybody gets picked on. And I remember in school that certain kids got picked on. And I remember this one guy getting picked on quite a bit. And there came a day in the lunchroom that he was tired of getting picked on. And all of a sudden, he stands up after getting picked on. And he looks at his bullies. And he takes his tray full of food. and begins to beat the living tire out of those bullies with his tray. He takes his lunch tray and is like, his glasses fall off. I go, I ain't taking it no more. I will beat you to death with this lunch tray. Don't you ever hit me again. You ever seen that happen? Yeah. At some point, you can only push a person too far, right? Are you getting where I'm going? See, at some point, spiritually, we got to say, you know what? I've fallen. I've taken the impact, but you can only push me so far. And at some point, something spiritually snaps on the inside of me and says, devil, quit your rejoicing over me. I will get back up. I will not stay here. I'm going to rise again. I'm going to allow God to pick me up again. I'm going to allow God to restore my joy to me. I'm going to allow God to bring me back up to where he's calling me to be. Sometimes we got to just stand up after impact and say, enough is enough. No more. Then it brings us to the third part of the balance, which is the power of the return. This is when the shape begins to return. Even though you're flattened out at impact, even though you may seem like a pancake at impact, that the return begins to happen. Look what Psalm says in chapter 51, verses 10 and 12 says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew. Well, let's say it this way, and reshape. Reshape a what? A steadfast, a strong spirit. Isn't that awesome? God, thank you that you created me a new heart and you reshape me to a steadfast, a strong spirit within me. Look what he does. He restores to me the joy. He restores to me the joy. He restores to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to what? Sustain me once again. What says this? That God reshapes us to the person who doesn't give up at impact. To the person who doesn't quit at impact, God renews and reshapes. God restores the joy. God brings it back. God has a new season for those who don't give up. Let me say it again. God has a new season for those who don't give up. And that's why you can quote the scripture that says that weeping lasts through the midnight hour and through the night, but joy returns in the morning. Let's say it again. The weeping lasts through the night, but joy gets restored in the morning. I may be flattened through the night, but I'll take shape again in the morning. I may have been hit hard at impact through my darkest hour, but God will create in me a new heart. God will create in me new again, and he'll give me back my joy, and I'm going to spring back up. Some of you need to determine in your heart, you've walked defeated way too long. You've walked like a flat pancake spiritually way too long. Today, I'm saying it's time for you to rise up with a spiritual boldness and say, it's my time. It's my time to rise again. It's my time to restore my joy. Satan, restore back my joy. God is restoring back my life. It's the bounceology that comes in scripture. We see that we were always, always intended to bounce back. God is always intended. We are not sustained. We're not hidden from troubles in life, but the promise we have as Christians is that we bounce back. And we have each other, number one, and then we have him, number two, the most important, the God who defied gravity. And the fourth part of the bounce is the rise, the return back, the rise up. See, God uses things that were working against us to begin to work for us. God uses things that were working against you to begin to work for you. When that bat hits that ball, it's hit hard, isn't it? It's hit hard. But does that ball travel a lot harder than that bat hits? Yeah. And the force that is used to hit it actually propels it to go further than it ever had before. And so you got to realize that whatever force is coming to make you fall, whatever's happened to slam you down, that it's only going to do the reverse. As a Christian, it only has the reverse effect. That it's only using this force to springboard you back into greatness according to God. Look at people's lives in the Bible. It's all full there. Look at David's life. Satan created the giant. And he had the giant in mind that he was going to kill David. He had the Goliath sword formatted to cut off the head of David. But what happened? David killed the giant with a slingshot. Remember that? Then he took the sword that was meant to destroy his life, and he killed his enemy with it. And then later on, when David's running for his life, remember this? He's running for his life. He goes back to the high priest. He's like, I have no weapons. Do you have anything to help me? And he brings out from back behind. He's like, hey, we got Goliath's sword here. And David's like, oh, man, this is the best sword ever made. This is awesome. I get Goliath's sword. And that becomes David's sword of weapon and defense. See, when you begin to spring back, what happens is this, that God will take the very thing that was meant to destroy your life, and he'll give it back into your hand to become a weapon for him. Think about that. He takes the very thing that Satan wanted to use to steal the joy out of your life, to destroy your life, and he gives it back to you to become a weapon. Or you can help other people who are going through the same problems you're going through and have been through, that you can speak life to other people, and you can say, get up! You don't have to stay down. You don't have to cry forever, but you can get back up and joy can return. The Bible's full of people who went through these things. Look at Joseph's life. Joseph went to the pit, got thrown in the pit by his brothers, sold into slavery. He goes to Potiphar's house, begins to work, gets promoted, only to have Potiphar's wife lie about him for him to get thrown into prison, to spend all those years in prison. But the great news about God's return is this. You can wake up one day in the very bottom of the pit or the bottom of the prison, and the next day God can elevate you to the palace. In a matter of one day, he went from the prison to the palace. See, that's God's return. That even though we may be down and things look like they're on their last leg, God has a way of rebounding us for his glory. For those who don't give up. For those who hang on and persevere. Look at Peter's life. He failed many times. But God used that failure to springboard him to preach a message where 3,000 people were saved on the day of Pentecost. You're talking about springing back up. Look at Paul's life. This is our New Testament hero. Paul, after being blinded, comes back, gets chosen. Goes to be separated for many years off him and the Holy Spirit. And God is teaching him, revealing to him the New Testament principles of Christianity. Then what happens? He comes out to plant churches, to spread the message, and he gets thrown in prison. Chained up, beaten, whipped. Sounds like Satan had the last laugh, right? No. What did Paul do during that time of being down and in prison? He wrote letters to the churches. He wrote and explained what the power of the cross was happening through the power of the Holy Spirit, what was going on. He wrote our New Testament doctrine that we now know. See, God took a thing that Satan thought he was going to do, and God said, you got him exactly where I want him. Now he can begin to write. Why? Because he knew that 2,000 years later that you and I would still be talking about what he wrote. That you and I would be listening and teaching to the things that were shared. And we had a revelation that only happened when Paul hit the bottom. Spring back up. What's going to happen? See, even our Savior Jesus was thrown down. He was thrown down on the cross. He was thrown down in the grave. But how many know we serve the anti-gravity God? He defied gravity. He rose back up again with resurrection power. It says he held in his hands the power over death, hell, and the grave. And the scripture says that this same resurrection power is inside of every believer. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've got resurrection power inside you. What's that mean? That means that even though you get knocked down, that God will, those who don't give up, will rise back up. God will bring you back. He sustains and he lifts you. And if you allow him to, he'll spring you up even higher than you ever was before. It's the law of the bounce. The bounce is greater than the fall. The bounce is greater than the fall. What causes the return? It's when the compression inside is stronger. You ever try to bounce a flat ball? Doesn't work, does it? Why? There's no air inside. Think about this. There's no air inside. You can't bounce the ball. I was thinking about that word air and breath. And Scripture, it symbolizes life. It symbolizes the Holy Spirit. It symbolizes God's presence. It says that God breathed life into Adam in the garden. When Jesus told his disciples, receive the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, it says, it sounded like a rushing mighty wind came through the house. Why? Because the air and the symbolizes, symbolic of the Holy Spirit, symbolizes the presence of God. Listen, when you allow God to breathe inside you, you can bounce back. You can, no matter how hard you fall, you have something on the inside of you that is greater. We're not called to walk defeated. We may cry. That's okay. We all have seasons of tears. And sometimes those seasons last for a while. But they're not forever. I'm not called to be defeated. I'm called, it says, I am more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Who what? Strengthens me. He allows me to rise again. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. With every head bowed, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and nobody looking but me this morning. But I want to ask you this question. I asked this morning, and we had several people who responded. I'm going to ask it again today. And so the question is today, are you ready to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior before. But today is your day. And today I want you to realize that God is here. What you're feeling going on in your heart right now, those butterflies, that's the Holy Spirit who's pulling at your spirit saying, today's your day. Now listen, we won't embarrass you at one bit. Nobody's looking but me right now. And nobody's going to embarrass you. But I want to give you a chance to respond today and say, Pastor, today's my day. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's you today. You ready to accept Jesus? Can you just raise your hands? That's me. Thank you. Anybody else? Raise your hands. That's me. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else say, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? I've never prayed the sinner's prayer before, and today I want to pray it. I want to ask Jesus into my life. One more time. If you haven't raised your hand, I'm going to ask you one more time, and then we're going to move on. If you haven't raised it yet, raise it right now. Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Raise it where I can see it. We're going to say a prayer. We're going to say it out loud. As Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you, especially those who raise your hands. I want you to repeat after me. We'll say it along with you. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my heart today. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow after you. And I want you to know this today. For those who accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we say, welcome to the family of God. Let's give him a hand. This is awesome, man. This is why we're here today. This is why we're here. This is why we do what we do. So that you can come in and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. At least 12 people today gave their heart to Christ in both services. This is a good thing. Isn't that awesome? Now listen to me. Today, with what you're looking at me, how many say, Pastor, this message was just for me today. I'm ready to get back up. I'm ready for God to return in my life. I'm ready for God to allow this principle of the balance to return in my life. That's you could just raise your hands. That's me. I needed this today. Okay, thanks for being honest. Yeah, see, this is what happens. Satan, look around. All hands up everywhere. Satan wants you to think that you're the only one that has a family messed up. That you're the only one who's messed up. No, we're all messed up. We're just here by the grace of God. And we have the perfect Father who brings perfect grace into our life. There's no perfect people, but we have perfect grace in him. And today, he's here to return you, to restore your joy.
He's here to rescue you no matter what you're going through. But you just got to say, God, I'm going to go there. I'm tired. I'm tired of being down. I'm ready to spring back up. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. Those of you who would like, you're more than welcome to join me here at the front as we close out the service with this song that simply says, God, thank you that you came to my rescue. How many are thankful that he comes and he rescues us? That while we're falling, even though we feel like we've been flattened at impact, that our Savior comes and he rescues us, breathing encouraging words, reaching out to us, picking us back up. I want you to make it personal today. Scoot in, make room for those coming in the back. And say, today, Father, I'm coming to you. I'm ready to bounce back. I'm ready to have my joy restored. I want to walk fresh in the new, my relationship with you. Come on.
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life, my place in your hands. God of mercy, humble I bow down in your presence at your throne. And I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue.
Lift your hands to him. One more time, I want to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for every person who raised their hand and said, Father, they are just needing the bounce. So, Father, as the spiritual covering over this house this morning, God, I speak right now. I come against every spirit of discouragement. I come against every spirit of doubt, every spirit of fear. And, Father, I begin to speak life now in the name of Jesus. I speak joy be returned in the name of Jesus. I pray strength is returned in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, I pray that things begin to take shape again, that dreams begin to happen again, that vision begins to come clear. That, Father, you are allowing us to return back higher, stronger, and better than ever before. God, I pray right now, Satan, you must release God's children in the name of Jesus. Release in the name of Jesus. Release in Jesus' name. And I pray right now, a new freedom. Fresh, fresh, fresh anointing, God. A fresh spring, Lord, a fresh bounce in the name of Jesus. That God, you are breathing new life into your people today. If that's you this morning, I want you just to raise your hands and God, thank you that you're giving me new life. Come on, let's declare it one more time.
And you came to my rescue tonight. I wanna be where you are. Come on, sing in my life, oh Lord. In my life, oh Lord, be lifted.
Yeah.
of you are ready to rise. Are you ready to rise? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, man, I'm getting up. I'm rising. But listen, today as you leave, if you raise your hand for salvation this morning and said that prayer, I want to invite you to stop by our information center right here in the very back left. We have a free gift for you today. We would love to give you. It's a free Bible. Inside that Bible, it's got some information on what you need to do next. Stop by, receive that. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you here. Come, get connected so people can help pick you up. God bless you today. We'll see you tonight. It's the last life group. Remember, the last of the life group. So we'll see you at Gap. We'll see you at a life group. God bless you.